So today we're doing the second half of, it's not really the second half, it's sort of like the middle of the Siman, but it's the second half in terms of logically going through Siman Kuf Pei Zayin, and this is the part that's very, very much Nogei Lamaisa, but today we're going to give a little bit of the background to that which is Nogei Lamaisa, and that is the issue of being Tola Bimaka, of relying on the fact that dam that she found is maybe not her own uterine bleeding, but rather it is the result of a maka, and that's why she is maybe tahora. So the context of the discussion of dam maka in the Gemara, we've already seen. The context is dam machmas tashmish. Right? The Gemara talks about it because the Gemara says that if the woman says that she has a maka, she's ne'emenes, to say that she has a maka, in the context of Dam Machmas Tashmish. So that's why she keeps bleeding Machmas Tashmish. So the Aruch HaShulchan just makes the Ha'ara, which is the obvious Ha'ara that's assumed by all poskim, that this isn't only about Dam Machmas Tashmish. This is about any time, meaning the rules of being Tola B'maka by Dam Machmas Tashmish are going to be the same rules of being Tola B'maka whenever you have a real Re'iyah. What I mean by that is as follows. There is such a thing as being tola b'maka on a kesem. A woman finds a stain in her underwear, so she could be tola b'maka. Those rules are much more lenient. That we're going to learn about in Siman Kuf Tzadi. You don't need the biggest maka in the world. You don't need the greatest raya and the absolute knowledge. Those are going to be different rules. To be tola b'maka, or to be tola in anything, really, when it comes to a kesem. Over here, we're talking about where there's a chashash Nida d'oraisa, meaning a woman has dam machmas tashmish, she has a real re'iyas dam, a flow of blood, a chashash nida d'oraisa. Now, nowadays, women typically don't see dam machmas tashmish. What would be a case where you're going to want to know if there's a maka where it's a chashash nida d'oraisa kind of situation? What would be a classic case? An eid bedika. Most of the time, a woman who finds dam and in a situation where she's not sure is it really her dam nida or not, would be on a bedika cloth. So she finds dam on a bedika cloth. That's not just a kesem, right? We already discussed this when we discussed hargasha, right? If she finds dam on a bedika cloth, dilma argish of lavadaita, you have to assume that maybe she had a hargasha. And therefore, we're talking about real re'iyas dam. And as a result of that, consequently, since we're talking about real re'iyas dam, we're going to need to follow these rules, the rules of being tola b'maka by dam machmas tashmish. So it's an entirely separate set of rules over here than it's going to be in Siman Kuf Tzadi when we talk about ksamim. Now, the Gemara says that it's a machlokas if there's a maka in the makar, whether it's tame or not, right? We saw this machlokas, what was it, Rabbi and Shimon Gamliel? Tosos points out that whole machlokas is only about the dam itself. Is the dam tame or is the dam tahar? But the way Tosos understands and the way we assume la halacha is that kuli amalo pligi, that the woman is tahora. That if dam maka comes from the makar, if she has a maka in the uterus, then she is tahora. If she has dam makar from the makar, she's tahora. That is kuli alma lo pligi, and that is certainly how we assume la halacha. Even though that's certainly how we assume la halacha, there are two ways to understand that halacha. Right? Meaning again, a makar in the uterus that produces dam, tahora. Right? Two ways to understand that halacha. One way to understand the halacha is that there are two ways that the uterus can bleed. The uterus can bleed by the endometrial lining being shed and coming out, and that's what we call dam nida, meaning that's the definition, right, of dam nida. Another way for the uterus to bleed is not the shedding of the lining, but rather it's just a wound, it's a trauma to the uterus, and the outer part of the uterus bleeds based on a wound to the uterus, but not from the endometrial lining itself. And it's totally separate blood. It's not the same blood. And if the dam comes from a maka, we're assuming that it's not the endometrial lining. That's one way to understand the Gemara. So one way, again, to understand the Gemara is if dam comes from the endometrial lining, of course she's a nida. The whole idea that the Gemara is saying that a maka b'makar is going to be tahar is if it's other blood. Yet it's in the same spot of the body, but it's different blood. The other way to understand the Gemara is that no, all blood from the uterus is the endometrial lining. That's it. That's the only blood there is in the uterus. There are just two ways to extract that blood. There are two ways for that blood to show up. That blood can show up because of the shedding of the lining, and the natural, just the way her body works naturally. Or that blood could show up as a result of trauma that causes the lining to shed. It causes the dam to emerge. But it's the same dam. And afal pi kein, it's going to be tahora. What's mitahir that dam is that it doesn't come as a result of the natural way the body works, the natural way that the body is that the body goes on its normal cycle. Huge nafkamina lahalacha between these two. Right, between these two ways of understanding. We'll see who holds what in a second. But huge nafkamina lahalacha. What's nafkamina lahalacha? What's nafkamina lahalacha? What? Leaving aside pills because that's not a maka. I mean, what if you have, what if a doctor does something where clearly he makes a maka, right? He or she makes a maka, and the maka causes the endometrial blood to come out. Is that dam maka or is that dam nida? If you assume that the whole kula of the Gemara is only because it's different dam, but the doctor says, no, I'm doing an endometrial biopsy. What does endometrial biopsy mean? What does biopsy mean? Any pre-med? Taking a piece of the thing out. So what's an endometrial biopsy? You're taking a piece of the endometrial lining out. So it's obviously the regular dam nida, but it's coming as a result of a maka. So this is a huge nafkamina lalacha. Does that make the woman an Ida? And it's mamish just how to read the Gemara. Because the Gemara is very clear that dam and amakar, that's a result of a makar, is tahar. It's just a question of what that means. So this is a huge discussion in halacha. The chaznish in Yardaya, Simon Pei Aleph, is mekel. He's mekel, that dam min hamakar that comes as a result of the maka, even though it's the same dam, is tahar. Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted by Nishmas Avraham in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin, also to be mekel. Rabbi Sablavsky points out that the chaznish in the Pe'er Hador, in Chelek Dalet, page Kuf Lamed Aleph, in Pe'er Hador, doesn't sound so mekel. He leaves it a little bit more vague as to how mekel he's going to be. The biggest raya lekula, probably the biggest raya lekula, is that if you ask a doctor, how else can you get blood out of the uterus that's not endometrial blood, they will tell you, you can't. That the only way the uterus can bleed is endometrial blood. So the biggest raya lekula is the metzias. Right? Meaning, because the Gemara definitely said that blood that comes from the makar as a result of a makar is tahar. It had to be talking about something. So if the only two options are either some other blood that can come from the makar, or no, the regular endometrial blood, it's just as a result of a makar. And I know that there doesn't exist some other blood. There's no such thing as some other blood. So then I only have one option left. That you have to assume that what we're mekel with is that what the Gemara was mekel with, beferish, is the endometrial blood that comes as a result of a maka. That's the strongest raya. How do you reject such a raya, right? That's pretty good. So Rabbi Sabalovsky points out that you can reject this raya if you assume like an unusual shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Beis in Ayin Beis. This is a famous tshuva. This was like a landmark tshuva that no one accepted. Even Shlomo Zalman was afraid to accept it. Shlomo Zalman was dealing with the issue, and this was written many, many years ago, of orthodox infertility. Right, we've discussed a little bit what it means. We've defined the term. So you have a woman who, by the time she gets tahara, she's already missed her ovulation. She's unable to get pregnant. So you got to come up with some sort of way to make sure that you can get her to be with her husband, Beheter, when she's fertile, when she's able to become pregnant. So nowadays, we do it with medicine, right? Nowadays, it's not that hard to do. So orthodox infertility is, you know, it's a big term, but it's not really a big issue anymore. But Rosh Hashanah thought he came up with an Eitzah before they had pills to solve this Eitzah, to solve this issue. So, anyone know Rosh Hashanah's famous Eitzah? Any suggestions? Good. Did we discuss this when he spoke about Hargasha? Oh, we did. Rosh Hashanah said, Ad shetargish bivisara, the dam has to touch the basar on the way out. So mele, if you put a tube, if you insert a tube all the way up to the makar, so the dam doesn't touch the basar, the vaginal walls, it only comes from the makar through this tube, she won't be a nida, even though she's shedding her uterine lining and it's coming out of her body. But it's not coming out through touching the vaginal walls. So mele, she's going to be tahara, and that could solve our problem, but I'm not going to be mekel until I get a few other people to sign on that they're going to be mekel, because I realize this is an earth-shattering psak, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and those haskamos were not forthcoming. Right? No one else was so into it. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, wait a second, how am I going to take a tube and stick it all the way into the uterus? That seems a bit far, that seems a bit much. He says, it doesn't have to go into just to the cervix. Because Rosh Hashanah says chiddush number two. I mean, chiddush number one is that if it doesn't touch the vaginal walls and just comes out in the tube, she's not going to be a nida b'chal. Chiddush number two, Rosh Hashanah says, that the cervix is the uterus. That halachically, the cervix and the uterus are both called the makar. Now, go to the same physicians that you ask, how do you get blood out of the uterus other than the endometrial blood? And they told you you can't, and say, yeah, what about the cervix? And they'll say, yeah, that you can do. You cut the cervix, you get a scratch on the cervix, it can bleed separately, not the endometrial blood. Ah, so if you assume like Rav Shlomo Zalman, which we generally don't, accept either of his chidushim, right? The one about the tube preventing the dam nida, nor the chidush that the cervix is part of the uterus lahalacha. But if you assume like Rav Shlomo Zalman, you could address the raya that they bring to those who are making. That's what you could say. Okay. Now, that's just the introduction over here. So the Gemara had said you could be yesh lamaka, you could be tolab makasa. She's ne'emenes that she has a makkah, and the Gemara was clear that even the makkah being in the makkah, we could be mekel. So we just pointed out that according to one version of the Chaznish, and according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that means that if there's a makkah in the uterus, such as an endometrial biopsy or other types of things that they may do, most gynecological procedures do not. You know, the typical standard gynecological procedure, pap smears and the like, we'll discuss many of these later maybe, but probably later this week even, we'll talk about this a little bit, but most of them do not involve going that far up, going into the uterus. But even if it does, there's what to be made of. Actually, we're probably not going to talk about it. We're going to have to talk about it when we talk about psich sakever, that there's a psich sakever below dam, because that's maybe then we'll talk about gynecological procedures. Maybe we'll bring in a doctor too to talk about. Okay, a different time. So that's just step one, just the Gemara. Now, what exactly does she have to know about her makkah in order to be tolda b'makasa? So Beis Yosef quotes the two famous shitos in Rishonim. Right? Beis Yosef quotes the shita of the Rashba and the shita of Hagos Maimini B'Shem Sefer HaTrumah. So for our purposes, we're going to call it the Sefer HaTrumah. Right? Beis Yosef in Sif Hei, the Kasva Rashba Zal B'Sof Shardalid, Ahaduk Tani Yim Yesh L'Makah Bosa Mokum Tolu B'Makasa, where we say that she could be Tolu B'Makasa, Mistavra Da'afilu Eino Margeshes Mamish Adam Shoses Yard Min HaMakah. She doesn't know that the blood is coming from this Makah. It's still you could be Tolu B'Makasa. Why? Chada De'enei Ne'a Ben Makasa. V'ef shalaleida ela b'dika shoferes. Because how in the world would she know? She's not able to examine inside and know where, you know, whether her makkah is bleeding in the makar. So it can't be that she has to know. When we say that she has to, that she's a menace to say that she has a makah from which the blood is coming, the from which the blood is coming, the nemenis doesn't go on that phrase, shemena adam shows his viore. The nemenis is that she has a makah. The assumption then is that it's that makah that's producing that blood. But nemenis is not about the makah producing the blood. She can't know that. It's el kabe shomrim yesh lamakah. Told makah so kamer sheinon sikol v'das bebiru sheyesh lamakah. We don't have to know for sure that there's a makah. She herself can tell us that there is a makah, but she doesn't even need to know that the makah is actually producing the blood. And in fact, says the Rashba, in the Tosefta, when it describes her nemenes, it doesn't say that phrase, Shemimena Hadam Shosis Yorei. And the Gemara just added that in as extra perish. Right? But it doesn't say that, because that's not what she has to say. She doesn't have to tell us. Shemimena Hadam Shosis Yorei. All the Tosefta says is Nemenes Ishlomer, Maki Yeshu Menamakar. And he points out that that's the Derech Hashas sometimes to add in Perish Bialma to the words of the Tosefta. Good. So that is the Shita of the Rashba. Now, purposely vague about the Shita of the Rashba, yeah?
Is it okay to say that about the Gemara, that when they're explaining, they're doing so not necessarily? Meaning they're adding details that are not necessary to the Shin of the
Holy. I'm going
to
say it's not necessary, it's elaboration. It would be problematic to say that you understand the Tosefta better than the Gemara. When I was in yeshiva, the big controversy at the time, we didn't have such labored controversies like you had. The big controversy at the time was that there was some chevre in yeshiva that wanted to change the derech halimud of yeshiva. That the derech halimud should be that we go back to all the Toseftas that the Gemara quotes, and we interpret better than Chazal. We interpret better than the Gemara to reinterpret. So they brought in a special Rebbe to teach and that stuff, you know, because they were going to the JTS for a while to learn. There was all that was the as it got labored. So one of the guys, yeah, okay, whatever. It's interesting chaver. It caused Rav Schechter to have to say something about how one is supposed to learn Torah. But yeah, but it's okay for the Gemara to tell us what, the Gemara, I don't think that's so crazy.
It's fair, but it makes me think that the Gemara thinks it's necessary for her to claim that the blood is coming out of the blood.
Oh, okay. No, the Rashba doesn't think so, obviously. The Rashba doesn't think so.
Yeah.
Right? The Rashba's saying the opposite. The Rashba's saying,
very short in its words. It doesn't say full phrases, but it adds in this whole thing about the blood coming out.
Yeah, well, it's just describing what her nemanus does. It allows us to assume that mimen adam shosis viori. That's what it accomplishes. Now, what exactly the Rashba means is subject to machlokas. I'm sure you all saw in the Shach that the Shach knows he's taking on the world in terms of interpreting this this Rashba, where the Shach points out that the Beis Yosef, the Darkei Moshe, the Bach, they all understand that you need a type of makah that can be motzi dam sometimes, right? That's what she has to be able to tell us. She has a makah that's of a type that can sometimes be motzi dam. What does that mean? Not a black and blue mark, right? That black and blue mark is not motzi dam, right? That was the example you gave. Not a black and blue mark. It has to be the type of makah that could be motzi dam sometimes. She doesn't have to know that this makah was ever motzi dam, just that this type of makah sometimes is motzi dam. The Shach in Sifkat Chavdal says, no. You need a makah that you know is occasionally bleeding, you're just not sure if it's still bleeding. I mean, this is a makah that has caused the woman aggravation in the past. And she knows that it has bled, she's not sure how far it's healed. She's not sure if it's still bleeding, if it's still producing dam. But just knowing that she has a makah that in theory could be motzi dam, not enough. It has to be that it's actually motzi dam at some point. You just don't need it to be motzi dam now. And the reason the Shach is forced to say this way in the Rashba is because he couldn't believe that the Rashba would allow women to assume that blood came from a wound that's not generally known to have bled ever. meaning there's no the whole question of where this blood came from is a safek hashakel. It's a 50-50 safek. And what kind of din are we dealing with over here? Remember, we're not in din eksavim over here. We're talking about nida daraisa. If you have a 50-50 safek about nida daraisa, how in the world could the Rashi make safek daraisa l'chumra? So the Shach says it can't be. It can't be that that would be enough for him to be makel. It has to be that you move the needle a little bit. It can't. It doesn't have to be like we're going to see soon, like the Sefer HaTruma, that you know that right now it's Motzi Dam, where it's Karov Levadai, but it better be better than 50-50. Right? You have to at least know that this Makkah itself, not just its relatives, that this Makkah itself is Motzi Dam.
Shach is saying that this Makkah has to have bled before, and right now she's not sure if it's blood from there, or that it's a wound that theoretically could produce blood, would 100% produce blood, but it hasn't in the past.
Let's see. Let's look at the Shach again. Let's look at the Shach again. Says the Shach. I think it means that this makkah, produces blood. And the Beis Yosef, Darkin Moshe Bach, disagreed. They say, as long as its relatives produce blood. As long as other makos and other women that are like this sometimes produce blood. Right? If the doctor says, sometimes this kind of wound will produce blood. So that's what would force the Shach L'chara, into this interpretation. And we'll get into that in a little more detail, Bez Hashem, very soon. This idea of Safek HaShakol and when we should be Machmir Misafek, not Machmir Misafek. But that's L'chara, just the simple explanation of the Shach. The Chacham Tzvi in Siman Mem Vav in the Tshuva brings a raya to the Shach from a Mishnah in Nida, Nun Chesem Beis. The Mishnah tells us Rabbi Akiva was Mekel B'Ksamim when a woman had a wound that once produced blood. Right? There's a Maisa, a woman came with Rabbi Akiva, she had a Kesem. And Rabbi Akiva was Mekel, and the Talmidim of Mestaklim said, what in the world is Mekel on this? She had a wound once, that produced blood, and that was good enough. So says the Chacham Tzvi, Mashma, that he was only willing to be Mekel because it was a Kesem. But had it been a real Re'iyah, Bidika Seid, or something like that, he wouldn't have been Mekel. And therefore, you see that the Chacham Tzvi is equating a wound that healed with a makah she'ena motzi adam, because in the case of the Mishnah, the wound had already healed. So you see that had it not been a kesem, he would not have been mekel, even though it's the type of wound that would be motzi adam. Since it has, since it is no longer a risk of being motzi dam, you could argue that there's a big difference. A wound that healed is a whole different situation. That a wound that healed is not going to produce anything, but an existing wound is much more likely to cause the blood. You could argue in the opposite direction. Okay, you got to look at that Chacham Tzvi. That's the famous Chacham Tzvi in this context. How do we paskin halacha? So we have this machlokas, Rashba and the Sefer Truma. We have a machlokas within the Rashba, how to understand the Rashba, right? So the Rashba, again, all you need is that that you have a wound that could be motzi dam. What that means, either that it has in the past been motzi dam, or the way we understand, we assume, not like the Shach over here, the Shach, for all of his power, in it, all the posts can assume, not like the Shach, right? That the Shitas HaRashba really is, like the Beis Yosef understands, that you just need a type of makkah that can be motzi dam, versus the Sefer HaTruma, in the name of HaGos Ma'amar, that you have to know that this makkah is motzi dam. Right now, that this makkah is still being motzi dam. So the Mechaber passes like the Rashba. the Ramah, like the Sefer HaTrumah. It's a huge difference, Sfaradi Ashkenazi. And this, we you know, predictably, Sfaradi Poskim do Paskim, like the Mechaber over here, they don't accept the Ramah's Chumrah, and they hold like the Rashba. So a woman does a Batika and finds blood on the Batika cloth, and there is some sort of wound, she's not an Ida. Right? For Sfaradi. We assume that she's not an Ida. And Sfaradim would assume she's not an Ida. What sort of wound? A wound. You know, that could be. It doesn't have to be with any sense of vadaus. There's such a thing as a woman that's called a bodekes. Anyone ever hear of a bodekes? In different communities, I'm sure there's one here in Washington Heights, there's one in the Five Towns, there's probably one in Teaneck, probably in major Jewish communities. So what a bodekes does is she looks for a makom that's mostly done. Right? Meaning if a woman is having trouble getting a clean bodika, or these kinds of things, and the bodekes is able to find the maka, so you have a woman who's a registered nurse or something, so she has some experience in the medical, who volunteers her time, or sometimes not volunteers, gets paid to examine a woman when she needs this kind of service. It doesn't come up that often in a woman's whole life. She very often will never use the services of bodekes. Someone I just got a call from, a rabbi last week, saying that there's a woman in the shul that just discovered the concept of bodekes, and she wants to put it all over the world, that everyone should know that every woman should go to bodekes every month, every time she's doing bodikos, because you never know when you gotta use it. So, whoa, that's not the way we do these things. That's not what she's there for. What she's there for is when a woman has a shaila, and the rabbi says, are you feeling any sort of pain, any sort of discomfort? And she says, yes, you know, maybe it's kedai to go to bodekes and see what's going on. Rare, right? Most women in their entire lifetime will never go to a bodekes. But to like make it like that's the next big thing that everyone has to do every single month, you know, to add another level of discomfort to the entire nida process, that's probably not such a great idea. Yeah.
What if you have a marker which is your dua that it isn't shosis? Now, for example, she's had this marker for 2 weeks, they've been together, everything in never caused, and suddenly she sees blood. Would you still make a tefillah and say, oh, maybe it just randomly started?
So, l'chor, according to the Rashba, that would be, according to that, that would be fine, because it could be that additional trauma eventually will cause it to bleed, as long as it's a type of marker that could bleed, even though its track record is that it hasn't. According to the Sefer HaTrumah, that's obviously not good enough, right? Sefer HaTrumah needs... Now, the Ramah does point out in Sefei that if she has no Vesus Kavua, right? Then she needs to know, Bevadai, that the Makah is Motzi Dam. But if it's B'Shas Vesta or on day 30, the Ramah points out importantly, if it's Shas Vesta or in the Yonah Beinus, then you can't be told of B'Makah, even if it's Yadua Shemotzi Dam, because then a woman will never become a Nida. Right, she'll get her period and she'll say, oh, there's a makah in there. Yeah, but I mean, you know, every month you also get your period. It's not only the makah that's producing that. So if it's at a time where she's expecting her period, she can't just, you know, chalk it up to the makah. So that's just an important ha'ara that the Ramah has on the page in Shulchan Aruch.
Is this about before she sees blood or after she sees blood, or does it really matter? Like, in terms of knowing whether the maka produces blood or the maka doesn't.
So most often we'll check right after, right? Because otherwise there's no reason to check. So it's when she's had a problem, so you'll check to see if there's a maka that's mostly done. What's when a woman does go to a bodekes, she'll normally be told go quickly, because these types of wounds, the human body is very amazing and heals itself pretty quickly. So if by the time she gets to the bodekes, it's already healed and it's not being motzi dam anymore, so she's not going to have, you know, she's not going to have the Sefer HaTrumah anymore. According to the Sefer HaTrumah, according to the Ramah, she's not going to have anything to rely on.
The Rashba says that this would even work Shas Vesta, to be told the Maka.
The Rashba, so that we discussed a little bit, combining the Rashba and the Mordechai, right?
The way that
Beis Yosef brought it down the Rashba and the Rambam sound like Sam should be Tola even if it's Shas Vesta. Yeah.
What's
the Svar
there?
If it's why would you be Tola even the Shas Vesta? That's a good question. Meaning the Ramos Ha'ar is like a very strong point. I don't know. I mean, the Rashba himself certainly. What the Ramos is willing to give the Rashba is in combination with, right, as we saw the other day. Now, I just want to go through a little bit of background of Tliya. This is a nice piece in Rabbi Reichman's forthcoming Sefer from the Rav Soloveitchik that I think gives us just a little bit of an understanding of the uniqueness of being Tola. Because Hilchos Nida is not the only place where you can be Tola. You know, it's important sometimes to realize that some of the pratim over here are just ramifications of klalim that are much bigger. Meaning, last night I was at the Smichas Chaver Siyum in City Field, and they did a panel discussion with the rabbis that are teachers of Smichas Chaver, so Rabbi Yoni Levin and Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg and Rabbi Chaim Marcus, Rabbi Shmuel Marcus, nice chevra of rabbis. Parenthetically, as we were meeting beforehand, and they were deciding who should take which questions. So Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg says, I'm not going to take these questions. Look, you have like real Talmidei Chacham here. Like, these are like real rabbis here. I'm not going to take this question. Like, yes, Rabbi Goldberg, you're known as like a second-rate rabbi. It's actually true. That is your reputation. Right? He's like the best rabbi in the country, I think everyone says. Okay. So why did I... Oh, because one of the questions was, and Rosh Hashanah is sitting right there, and they're asking us a question. How should one be matzliach in learning? So it's actually right not to ask Rav Shechter that question, because I don't think Rav Shechter's way of being matzliach in learning is so doable for everybody else, both in terms of his genius and in terms of his hasmada. Meaning, so getting other etzes is probably a good idea. But the one thing that came to mind, I didn't get to answer that question. There were six rabbis there, so we each answered like maybe one or two. But one of the very important things that we learned from Rav Shechter, who learned from Rav Soloveitchik, is to have klalim, to realize, to learn in klalim. You know, that there are rules that apply all over Shas. Figure out what those klalim are, and then you can learn, all of Shas really well. Rav Shechter described, they made a movie once about Rav Soloveitchik a number of years ago, a graduate of Maimonides made a movie about Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Shechter described in that movie how you learned the sugya and you felt like you were stuck in a jungle. That's how he described it, where there were branches everywhere and everything was in your way and you had no idea where you were going. Then Rav Soloveitchik came and he gave shir, and it's like everything fit. There was like a path that cleared out, and the imagery that he painted, and you saw the shrubbery belongs there, and the trees belong there, and everything just made sense, and everything was organized, everything fit where it belonged, just by him giving you a couple of important klalim. I mean, it brought my talmidim from Camp Kaley to Rabbi Reisman, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. He said the same thing. We asked, can you give us eitza, how to be matzliach in learning? So no, the question was, what sticks out to you most about... I asked the question. I said, these boys never met Rav Pam. You're known as like the biggest Talmud of Rav Pam. So what can you tell us about Rav Pam? So I was waiting for like, 1,000 stories of tzidkus, because that's all anyone ever tells about. So he said, no. He said, Rav Pam worked on klalim. He worked on klalim that will help you learn everything. He didn't get bogged down in details of, four pshatim in the Havamina and six pshatim in the Meska. Not a waste of time. He said it's Talmud Torah, but it's not the most efficient use of your time. The most efficient use of your time when you're learning is coming up with klalim. So that's what Soloveitchik worked very hard on, coming up with klalim. Seeing when you're learning Nida, see if this fits a larger pattern. Interestingly, in this particular instance, he does the whole analysis, and then he says, it seems that Nida is an exception. But you can only figure out that Nida is the exception when you learn what the klalim are. So let me just present what Rav Soloveitchik says. We'll try to, I'll try to do it properly. In Hilchos Treifos, it used to be you have to learn Hilchos Treifos to get Smicha, you no longer. In Hilchos Treifos, there is a Machlokas Mechaber and Ramah. It's really Machlokas Rishonim, obviously, but Mechaber and Ramah Paskin, Hilchos Treifos, and Shulchan Aruch Yerdeya, Simin Nun. The Mechaber writes, Kalelu Anakavim, these different holes that you find in the animal, yesh bamed litlos kmo betabach or bezeiv shenatan tolin bam. Meaning, you find that someone brings you a sheep's head for Rosh Hashanah. Every year, someone delivers me a sheep's head. We have this caterer in Paraguay, or Lawrence, who brings me a sheep's head every year for Rosh Hashanah. My wife is not appreciative of the gift. So someone brings you a sheep's head for Rosh Hashanah, And, you know, you're messing around with it, you're looking. So you open it up, and there's like a hole right in the membrane of the brain, around the brain. And you're like, wait a second, that's a treifa. So it says Mechaber, if the butcher was hacking around with it, or if a wolf came and took it and then brought it back to you, and you're like, oh, thank God, just in time for Rosh Hashanah, he brought it back. I mean, there's something else to be told that, where that came from after the Shechita, that it could have happened after the Shechita, Tolin. You're allowed to be told that. You don't have to assume it was there before the Shechita. That's the Mechaber. Says the Ramah, Kol Mokom Shein Yichalun Litol Shenas HaLiachar Shechita. Afal pishu hu trefa sheyesh lo bedika im lo badkuhu o she'en yicholun livdok harehu kesafik trefa va'osnosa. If you don't have any specific tliya, you just have a safik, it's aser. V'lo amina nishchata hutra ela bedavar shenuchalom or shenasa harehusa la'achar shchita. V'liyasa michaskasa michayim. Says Rama, when it was alive, when it was shechted, you might say, oh, now that it's shechted, it has a cheskas heter. So why can't I rely on that cheskas heter and say that any problem that I discover now must come from after the shechita? No, unless you have something to point to and say, that happened, and that makes it, that it's, that problem arose at a specific time, and I know when that time is, it was after the Shechita, if you have no event to point to, it's not really machlokas, it's really elaborating on the Mechaber. There's no wolf that took it, there's no butcher that was hacking it, there's no event to point to, you're not allowed to assume that it happened after the Shechita. There's no tliya that happened after the Shechita, even though normally a Shechita puts something b'cheskas ha'ater, because it could have just as easily happened before the Shechita. So the Shach over there in Sifkat and Gimel says that what the Ramah is actually telling me are two separate chidushim. The first chidush is the notion of being machzik me isur le isur. What's the notion of being machzik me isur le isur? So this is just some good lamdas. The Darkei Moshe in Simen Lamed Aleph writes the following. It says, Maisa bali adenu. Darkei Moshe Simen Lamed Aleph, Yerdei Lamed Aleph. Maisa bali adenu, he says, Ho kila kadosha Krakow. He says there was a story that happened. Barosh behema shahayu bo mayim, or mum, v'kodim sheyedu areyus ha-chadcha al-gugolos l'shnayim, u'miktsas ha-moach min al-gugolos, v'loyanodim ha-moach ikifu alo v'asru nula. That the story happened that they found a problem in the Rosh behema, and before they realized the problem, they had cut up the head in a certain way. And v'yesha yirotzim l'hachshir mehadetanya nishchita hutra. There were those that wanted to be machshir because the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tes says that if it's nishchat, that's hutra, gives it a cheskas heter, ad sheyodei alach b'men nitrefa, unless you know that the treifas happened earlier. Says Ramav Lo Dami, Tehov yesh kan reyus haborur mechayim ein lahachshir mishum zeh. V'chein mash v'tos perak dal l'rachim. So Shach explains what he's referring to is as follows. There's a Tosos that discusses, and we'll bring this all back. There's a Tosos that discusses machlokas between Rabba on the one hand and Abaye and Rava on the other hand about a guy who is married to two women. One of them is an erva, and the other one is a tzaras erva. So what's halacha? Where does the tzaras erva come up? What mesechta? Yivamis, right? A tzaras erva does not require ibum or chalitza. Good. Guy is married to two women. One of them is an erva. One of them is a tzaras erva. He gives a get to the erva. Safek karov lo, safek karov la. It's a safek whether the get was effective, whether it was karov lo or karov la, within his dalaramas or within her dalaramas. Yeah? Then he dies. No children. So no, yibum or no yibum. So machlokas Abaye and Rava on the one hand versus Rabba on the other hand. Do we assume that the tzara is becheskas heter l'shuk? Or do you say, no, she needs chalitza. Why would she be becheskas heter l'shuk? Because he was becheskas married to the erva. Suffolk, where they got divorced, but he was becheskas married to the erva. So Rabba holds she's becheskas heter l'shuk. She used to be a tzara's erva, so we assume she remains a tzara's erva. Doesn't need yibum chalitza. Abaye and Rava say she needs chalitza. So the Ramah, based on Tosos, understands that the Machlokas is about Mechaskin and Meisr L'Isr. What does that mean, Mechaskin and Meisr L'Isr? Rabbah holds that at the time of the Leidas HaSafik, when was the Leidas HaSafik over here? The Safik, the moment of Safik, was the giving of the get, right? So at the time of the giving of the get, which I don't know if it was a good get or not, she was definitely Asura L'Shuk. The Tzara was definitely Asura L'Shuk. Why? She's a married woman. Right? This fellow is married to woman A and woman B. Woman A is an Erva. So he gives woman A a get. We're not sure if it's a valid get or not. Woman B is definitely us for the whole world. She's a married woman. Then the fellow drops dead. Now our suffix is, does woman B have an Isser of Yevam L'Shuk? So what do you say? What's her chazaka? Does she have a cheskas heter or a cheskas Isser? So what would you tell her? She has a cheskas Isser. What Isser? She's definitely not an Eishas Ish anymore. Right? Because her husband's dead. But her last known chazaka was a cheskas Isser. Mechaskinan me'isser le'isser means that a chazaka of one Isser is going to carry forward to another Isser. And that's her cheskas Isser. So Rabbah holds that even though at the time of the latest suffix, she was definitely Asura L'Shuk, she was still an Eishas Ish. We do not, Rabbah would say, consider that to be a cheskas Isser, because now her Isser is an entirely different Isser. It's an Isser of Yevam L'Shuk, not Eishas Ish. And therefore, says the Ramah, Hu Adin by a Treifa. According to Rabbah, even if a Reisa existed Mechayim, even if you had a Reisa while the animal was still alive, when it was Becheskas Isser, when it was still alive. Why was it Becheskas Isser when it was still alive? Tzeivim Menachai, Tzeinu Zavuach. You consider that to be Cheskas Heter as far as Isser Treifa is concerned. It did not have a Cheskas Treifa when it was alive. It had a Cheskas Tzeivim Menachai. That Isser has nothing to do with Treifa. Totally separate Isserim. Ein Mechaskin Meisr Isser, says Rabbah. Abaye and Rava, on the other hand, hold that Machzika Meisr Isser. So when she had an Isser Eishas Ish, she was Becheskas Isser. That Chazaka carries over to the Isser of Yevam L'Shuk. Because I don't care what the Isser is, her last known Chazaka was a Cheskas Isser, so that Isser, that she still has a Cheskas Isser. And therefore, when it comes to the Treifa situation, Nu, how would you say it? According to Abaye and Rava, last known Chazaka was Cheskas Isser Eiver Menachai, and Mela, that carries over Mechaskin Meisr L'Isser to Cheskas Isser for the Isser Treifa. And the Ramah paskens like Abaye and Rava, and that's why he's not Matir Safik Treifa. He's not going to be Matir Safik Treifa if the Reisa was Nolad Mechayim, while the animal already had a Cheskas Isser. So if there was something that happened Mechayim that created a Reisa on this animal, they did something, the animal split its head open or something, they did something to this animal while it was alive, there was a Reisa that was created. You're just not sure if the particular problem you're identifying now is a direct result of that Reisa. You cannot say Cheskas Heter because it had a Cheskas Isser Mechayim, the Cheskas Isser Eiver Menachai. Now, you could argue that this whole discussion is limited to Yevam L'Shuk and to Treifa. That the idea of Mechaskin Meisr L'Isr makes sense by Yevam L'Shuk and makes sense by Treifa, but does not make sense anywhere else, including Nida. Why? Why would it make sense dafka in those two contexts? Are these really two separate Isurim? I mean, what do we say? By the Yevam L'Shuk. What was her cheskas Isser? Her last cheskas Isser? Was an Isser of what? Eishas Ish. Is Yevam L'Shuk really so different from Eishas Ish? Maybe the nature of the Isser of Yevam L'Shuk is a shtickle Isser Eishas Ish. Meaning Zika is like Erisin. What does Erisin do? It creates an Isser Eishas Ish. It's not Matir her Lebaili yet, so Zika is very much like Erisin, no? There's like this sense of Ishus. So it's not that it's a new Isser. And a couple of rayas. There's a sheet in Yevamos that Ein Kiddushin Tovsin be Yevamah L'Shuk, which is wild, because Yevamah L'Shuk is only an Isser Lo Saseh. And normally by Isseri Lavin, Grusha L'Kohen, an Isser Lav, right? Kiddushin Tovsin by Isseri Lavin. How could it possibly be that Ein Kiddushin Tovsin be Yevamah L'Shuk? Eishas Ish. Maybe it's Eishas Ish. Is a sheet that a yavam could be made for nidre yavimto? It can only be made for nidre yishto, eshes ish. So maybe it's not a separate. The mechaskin of Yisrael, the Isser in that case, maybe is not really a separate Isser. And the same is true by treifa. What was the last cheskas Isser that the treifa animal had? What Isser of what? Ibn Menachai. Why is Treifa Aser? Does anyone know who made this this line of thinking famous? Relationship between Treifa and Eber Menachai?
There's no Heter of the Shemitah.
Yeah, yeah. So the Rambam pretty much says it, but Reb Chaim, they say, I think they say this was Reb Chaim's bar mitzvah pshat, which he wrote himself. It wasn't like the community rabbi didn't write one for him. You know, I don't think he made corny jokes or like, you know. But he said over this shtickle in the Rambam that what? That it could be that the problem of Treifa is that it never had a Heter Shechita. And what's the problem of Eber Menachai? That it never had a Heter Shechita. That it's all the same. It's all under one category of Ein Ba Heter Shechita. The Rambam, Macholos Asuros, Perek Dalet Alach Yedzayin, writes, Kol HaNevelos Mitzarfo Zum Zu. Nevelos of different carcasses, different animals, are mitzarev to each other to ashir kazayis. Nevelim mitzarefes in treifa. V'chein kol behem of achaya hatameya mitzarefim zemza. Avol baser nevela im baser behema tameya im mitzarefim. If you have a nevela of a cow and pig meat, they're not mitzarev to each other. Ketzad halokech minivlas hashor v'nivlas hatzvi v'nivlas hatarnigol v'kibetz mina kol kazayis. He gets a little sampler platter of nevelos of all different kinds of animals, and altogether he gets a kezayis va'achlo loke. V'cheinim kibetz chatzi zayis minevelos behematara v'chatzi zayis mina treifa or chatzi zayis mibaser nevelo v'chatzi zayis mibaser mina chay mina tora va'achlo loke. Zachlal, here's the key line. Kol she isurun belav echad mitstarfin. When the Isurim are the same lav, they're mitzarif. B'shnei lav and ein mitzarfin. Chutz mi nevela utreifa. Why? Why can nevela utreifa, the two separate lavin, why can they be mitzarif? Hol vatreifa, tchilas nevelahi. Treifa is the beginning of nevela. What? What does that mean? Says Reb Chaim. What does nevela mean? Nevela means that you have an animal that never had heter shechita. It died. They didn't have heter shechita. Treifa is tchilas nevela. It takes away the possibility of heter shechita. It makes it that heter shechita can't be chal on that animal. So says Rav Soloveitchik, maybe the same with Eber Menachai. Eber Menachai is an animal that's eligible for heter shechita, but never, obviously, never had heter shechita. So it could be, that dafka in that circumstance, you're going to say, you know, in these circumstances of the Yevam L'Shuk coming from Eishas Ish, of the Treifa coming from Eiv Menachai, the Rama is going to say Mechaskin Meisul Isser. But aside from that, the Shach points out that the Rama is against the Chuvas Maram Lublin, Simon Samach Vav. And he holds that even if the Reisa was Mechayim, you can be Tola L'Hakel. That we're not machzik miyusul iser, and he holds that that's not at all the machlokas between Rabba and Abaye and Rava. He holds that everyone, even Abaye and Rava, hold ein machzik miyusul iser, even by Yevam L'Shuk, even by Treifa. So we assume there's a cheskas heter because the old cheskas iser is no longer relevant. What about the fact that Abaye and Rava require chalitza by safek get? That's a chumra mitravana. So the first Chiddush of the Rama, says the Shach, and the less relevant one for our purposes, but it's just how Rasa later develops it. First Chiddush of the Rama is to say that mechaskin misul iser against the maram lublin. That will take one iser and be machzik it forward and say that that's called the cheskas iser that continues. Second chiddush is the one that's relevant. Second chiddush of the Rama is that when there's no vaday reyus amechayim, right, there's nothing specifically that came up while the animal was alive that made you think there's going to be a problem over here. We assume the behemoth becheskas kashrus, even if it's a 50-50 and we have no indicators one way or the other when this problem happened with this behemoth. 50-50 suffik, cheskas kashrus. And that's the pashtus of the Sefer Truma, not our Sefer, the Sefer Truma over there in Hilchos Trefus. However, the Rashba in Chulin on Daf Yud Amud Beis, the Rashba in Chulin Daf Yud Amud Beis, holds that if you have a suffik ashakul, you have a 50-50 suffik, you don't rely on the chazaka, even if the suffik was nolad the achramisa. Because the Rashba writes, here's the example. Hechad dinishpata gaf ha'of, o nishpara raglo minar kuva lamayla. Something happens. The leg breaks above the joint where it would make it a trefa. Ve'in yadua im kodem shchita lacha shchita. And you don't know if it's before or after shchita that happened. Kas Rabbeinu Zal, Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Yona, demistavra de safek da'oraisa hiu l'chumna. That you have to assume it's safek da'oraisa l'chumna. And he goes on to say that even if the no let a suffik trefa achar shchita, you found it shamut, but you don't know if it was nishmat kodem shchita or achar shchita. You found a dislocated joint, and you don't know if it was before shchita or after shchita, which is the most common trefa that they find in like chickens or whatever, because they just give like a basic look over of the chicken, and they'll see like a blood, you know, clumped together where the joint, you know, came apart or something. But if you don't know nishmat kodem shchita or achar shchita, you do not rely on cheskas hetter b'safik hashakol. We say safik d'oraisa l'chumra. Only if there's more reason to be tola l'hetera are we going to be mekel b'makom chazaka. Wow. So let's get the klalim here. What are we saying? If you have a cheskas hetter, not good enough when the safik is only 50-50. When the safik is only 50-50, cheskas hetter is not going to help. What do you need? You don't need vadai, you need better than 50-50. Which means, the rules of Taliya are, according to the Rashba, in Chulin Dav Yud, that you can only be Tola when it's better than a 50-50 chance Lekula. For example, Natal Ze'ev, Achar Shchita, Vechziru Nakuv. The case Sulchan Aruch before. A wolf comes, takes the dead animal that you shechted already, runs away with it, comes back, brings it back to you, and now you're finding all sorts of trefus problems. There's a good chance that the wolf had something to do with that. Better than 50-50. That the, you know, the animal looked very vibrant and healthy beforehand, and you know, now after you shechted it, the wolf took it. There's a good chance that that happened after the shechita. So it turns out to be a big machlokas over here, whether safek hashakul, we rely on the cheskas kashrus of the animal that it wasn't a trefa, right? The animal had a chazaka, but it was warned that it's not a trefa. So when it's 50-50, do you rely on the cheskas kashrus? Or do you say, no, it's got to be no till a heter. It has to point in the direction of heter. So if somebody said, what's the yisoda machlokas? What's the yisoda machlokas? Or somebody should explain. Tosus holds that a chazaka is machriya. Tosus in the Sefer Truma holds that a chazaka is machriya sfekos. What does the chazaka do? When you have a suffik, it answers it. It tells you which way is correct. So you have a suffik, a shakul, that's a suffik. Chazaka, which is cheskas heter, good. So it's machriya the suffik. The chazaka is machriya the suffik lekula. The Rashba holds, in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, that a chazaka has the ability to prevent a leidas suffik. But if you already have a suffik, the chazaka is not going to be machriya anything. So if you already have a situation where you're not a laheter, where it's not a 50-50 suffik, you could be mitzarif the chazaka to say there's no suffik. Because I have a cheskas heter and the overwhelming chance that it's lakula over here, I don't really have a suffik. Once you have a suffik that's 50-50, the chazaka is going to be irrelevant. Bring this back to Tliya B'maka. Says of Salvechik, this is exactly, in theory, the machlokas between Sefer Trum and the Rashba. Why? Why is this a machlok Sefer Trum and the Rashba? No, let's put it together. According to the Rashba, what do you need to know? It's a type of makkah that's mostly dam. How would you qualify that stuff, eh? When the woman finds dam, and she knows that there's some makkah, she also knows that she's a woman who bleeds sometimes. It's about a 50-50. If she has a makkah that's being moti dam actively, and she finds dam, that's 50-50? No, come on, that's very much not a lehetir. What's her chazaka? What's the chazakas tama? Right, she's not chazakas tama. It's a machlokas whether during the shiva nikiyim she's assumed to be chazakas tama. Let's assume during the shiva nikiyim when she did a hafsek tara that she's chazakas tara. I think that's a general assumption. Can I rely on a 50-50 suffix? A Rashba's kind of maka? I don't know if it's motzi tam. Can I rely on that? Right, when you have a. Can I rely on a cheskas heter when my suffix is only 50-50, like the Rashba's kind of makkah? So they explain, Sefer Truma holds, you need to know that the makkah is motzi dam. Right? He says, Din isha sheyesh la makkah bosa makkah men yodas motzi adam lav im bodekas asma bosa makkah motzi adam or she is margeshes temeya, ain't a tola b'makkah. The Rashba, no. The Rashba says, you don't need to know. Why? It's the same machlokas. Right? Sefer HaTruma holds only a suffix shenota lehatir would be enough to be tolu lahakel. So he requires a makah that's yadua shemotzi adam. The Rashba says that even a suffix ashakul is enough when there's a cheskas hatir. So as long as she says there was a makah, even if it's eina yoda'a shemotzi adam, you'd be tolu lahakel. What's the giant flaw in this whole analysis? What? Yeah, they're flipped. Mechlefes hashita. So Rav Soloveitchik points that out. He didn't miss that, right? The Schalfa Shitos over here, meaning the Sefer HaTruman Hilchos Treifas Siman Chafei is Mekel B'Safik HaShakol B'Treifas, whereas here he's not told that unless he has Rosh Hashanah. The Rashba is Machmir B'Safik HaShakol B'Treifas, and Chulin Dav Yud B'Shem Rabbein Yona, he's Mekel about being told Af She'en HaSafik HaShakol Af She'en Yodash HaShakol says. Even though it's only a suffix ashakul. So what you have to do, the next step, what Salvech does, is to distinguish between treifas and nida. Can I go 1 minute over time? Just finish up the thought. Tosfos and Sefer Truma are machmirim b'suffix nida, mekilim b'suffix treifa. Why? Two different types of chazaka. By nida, the chazaka is a cheskas haguf, a cheskas heter bialma. Meaning she has a chazaka that she's not being roadan, and therefore she's Torah. Tosfos is not willing to be tola lahakel when it's a safek hashakol, when that's the best chazaka you got. Such a chazaka is not strong enough. It can only prevent a leidas safek. By treifus, what's the chazaka? Chazaka is not just a cheskas haguf. It's a ruba d'lesa kaman. What's the chazaka by treifa? Why is there a chazaka that the animal's not a treifa? Most animals aren't treifas. A large majority of animals aren't treifas. It's ruba d'lesa kaman, a much stronger chazaka. The Rashba, who would say that we would say Safik Darais al Chumra by Safik Ashakal, we wouldn't rely on either type of Chazaka. Why is he so Mekel by Nida? Because by Nida there's a Gzeres HaKasav of Hargasha. That includes, Hargasha means that you know that the blood came from the Makkah. Right? Meaning that's how, remember when we went. We don't have Hargasha nowadays, do we still have Nida Daraisa? Yes, we do. Because if she knows she's getting her period, that's Hargasha. If the definition of Nida Daraisa is a Yediyah that this is her flow, I don't need much of a suffix to take away that Yediyah. Meaning since, and therefore, the whole question of her Tumah turns into a question Midrabanan, suffix HaShakal and Midrabanan, you could be making. So that's how he understands the Rashba. Alternatively, the Rashba might hold that Nida relies on Sfek Sfek Alehater. Suffix Minat Stadim. And even if it's min a makkah or something that it's dam makkah, if you don't know that the makkah is motzi dam, it's only granted it's only a safek hashakol, but that's enough at least to be misarif to svek sveka. Meaning over here we're relying on svek sveka. Good, so safek hashakol will be good enough to rely on to be mitzdarif to a svek svek. That's Rav Soloveitchik's analysis of the background of the inyanim of Taliyah. But Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll get into cases where the Ramah will agree to rely on the Rashba. We already discussed one, Shalom B'Shas Ves. We'll get into Svek Svek a little bit, and maybe some of the further details of being told of the Makasa. Have a great day, everybody.